Europe.
Migration. The immigrants Europe wants. Right-wing governments are quietly letting in migrant farm workers.
Look out of a train window in Dutch farm country, and much of what you see is glass, row after row of greenhouses. At René Simon's farm, 60 kilometres southeast of Rotterdam, the raspberry bushes ramble across acres of trellises. The workers who pick them are mostly from Eastern Europe, Poles and Bulgarians in peak season, or Ukrainians who often stay longer. We have a few ladies from near Lviv now, says Mr. Simons. We tell them, if it gets tough there, you can always stay here. Farmers like Mr. Simons are at the centre of a European dilemma. Governments are vowing to reduce immigration, but European agriculture depends on migrant workers. About 2 million Europeans cross borders to work on farms every year, according to EU estimates, plus another 400,000 from outside the Union, perhaps a third of the bloc's agricultural workforce of 7 to 9 million. Europe's farmers have enormous clout and tend to be part of the base of the hard right parties that want to keep out foreigners. That has forced such parties to compromise on their anti-immigration slogans. Italy is a good example. In April 2023, 6 months after the hard right government led by Giorgia Meloni took office, her agriculture minister, Francesco Lollobrigida, chided Italians to have more babies or face being replaced by foreigners. Yet, in practice, Mr. Lollobrigida has pushed for more visas for agricultural workers. Ms. Meloni, while trying to ship off many asylum seekers for processing in Albania, is welcoming more labour immigration, so long as it is controlled. The reason is pure necessity. Italy's agriculture industry has a shortfall of some 200,000 workers each year, says Massimiliano Giansanti, president of Confagricoltura, a farmers' association. The legal workforce in agriculture, including seasonal workers, numbers around 1 million. A third are foreigners. Among those aged 18 to 35, nearly all are, says Mr. Giansanti. Young Italians think of agriculture as back-breaking work under the sun. In addition, some 230,000 people work in the sector's shadow economy, many of them undocumented migrants from Asia and Africa. Countries such as Germany, France and the Netherlands, meanwhile, get most of their migrant farm workers from the East European countries that joined the EU in the 2000s. The biggest source country was initially Poland. As Polish labourers left Poland seeking higher wages, Polish farmers hired Ukrainians to replace them. The pandemic border closures in 2020 upended that system. And 2 years later, after Russia invaded, Ukraine barred men of military age from leaving the country. Many of those already in Poland headed for Germany after the EU granted Ukrainians work permits. So Polish farmers began recruiting Ukrainian women. We tend to focus on middle-aged women. We don't want young, pretty girls with long fingernails, says Tomasz Ostergaard, whose berry farm hires 600 harvest workers every October, 90% of them Ukrainian. The hard-right Law and Justice Party that governed Poland in 2015 to 23 railed against non-European immigration. But in practice, it quintupled the number of work permits issued to Asians and Latin Americans to 275,000 in 2023. Many involved bribes. The new government has cut visa issuance while it cleans up the mess, but is considering fresh deals with South Asian countries. On October 16th, it unveiled a migration policy that would restrict asylum seeking but protect labour migration. We want the new regulations not to limit the number of foreigners ready to take up work in agriculture, says Czesław Siekierski, the agriculture minister. The Netherlands epitomises the tension between farmers and anti-immigrant groups. The biggest party in the hard right government that took office in July is the Anti-Immigrant Party for Freedom. But it also includes the farmer citizen movement, which resists any restrictions that might interfere with getting the berries plucked. Housing shortages exacerbate the anti-immigrant mood. Migrants are often packed five or more to a room in apartments bought by employment agencies. Such agencies play an unusually large role in Dutch labour migration. They let employers offload responsibility for paying social benefits. A government report in 2020 found they were often exploitative. They use their power against people, says Bożena, who was recruited with her husband to come from Poland for what they were told were jobs at a laundry. Instead, the agency tried to force them to work at a slaughterhouse. Bożena turned for help to FNV, the country's biggest trade union. The government plans to get tougher on agencies. A stricter law comes into force in 2026. But it also wants to discourage employers from using low-wage migrant workers. A proposal in August by Thierry Aartsen, an MP from the Liberals, another coalition partner, would subsidise farms that use robots. The revenue model depends too much on cheap labour, says Eddie van Heijem, the Minister of Social Affairs. I'm not against labour migration, but it shouldn't happen at society's expense. Migrant agricultural workers are abused all over the continent. In Limits of Europe, a new documentary, Sasha Ulova, a Czech journalist, goes undercover on a German farm that uses two timesheets for its Polish workers, one for fictitious 10-hour days and one for the actual 14-hour days. Yet even labour rights advocates acknowledge that workers usually take such jobs not because they are deceived, but because the options back home are worse. Letting people travel to seek higher wages is part of the logic of the EU's freedom of movement. Western Europe's farms profit from such migration. Many would not profit at all without it.